This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
I was just telling him he sounds like Don Henley when he gets up in that higher register right there. Yeah, I would make you sing Hotel California tonight. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to sing a little bit since I didn't do that much this morning. Hallelujah. It's called Lift Up a Song. Hallelujah. Lift up a song. Strengthen yourself in the joy of our Lord. Let your heart dance. For you are his joy and he's your reward. Here we go. Lift up your hands. Together we are the new temple that follows the bride of the Lamb. We are the temple, his body, the bride of the Lamb. He is among us. He's a dancing and singing. Singing over all the redeemed who are coming to Zion. Behold his presence. And you can come to his temple as the redeemed of our Lord join the dance of the Passover Lamb.
We bless you, Lord. Thank you.
Lift up a song. Strengthen yourself in the joy of the Lord. Let your heart dance. For you are his joy and he's your reward. Here we go. Lift up your hands. Together we are the new temple that follows the bride of the Lamb. We are the temple, his body, the bride of the Lamb. Oh, it is Jesus. He's the Lamb who has saved us. The Lamb who has risen in strength and in power at the hand of our Father. Behold his presence, come to his temple, as the redeemed of our Lord join the dance of the Passover Lamb. As the redeemed of our Lord join the dance of the Passover Lamb. As the redeemed of our Lord join the dance of the Passover Lamb. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I love this old hymn. How many has he been faithful in your life? It's the old hymn, Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, we thank you. You've been so good. Hallelujah.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. And as thou hast been, thou forever continually shall be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. The summer and winter, and the springtime and the harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, they join with nature in a manifold manifold witness to thy great faithfulness. All is mercy and love.
He's good, amen.
Great, oh great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies, Lord, I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. All I have needed, thy hands hath always provided. So great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We use our lips as this sacrifice of praise, constantly giving Him the glory, giving Him the honor. No matter what our five senses may be saying, we're giving glory to the Lord. Amen? So that's what this song is called, the sacrifice of praise.
Bless you, Lord, each cry of praise.
Each cry of praise begins with thee. You've given the gift of life, then hid in our hearts eternity. Revealed in the mercies of Christ. Though darkness surrounds us in shadows of death, we look to your heavenly rays. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks with each breath, we offer to thee our praise. For your generous favors, O God, for the gift of our freedom in Christ, as an offering of praise unto you, we will give our lives in sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we bless you.
Each cry of praise begins with thee. You've given the throne above.
Mercy like rain comes cleansing and free, surrounding your children in love.
The thirst of our souls left parched by sin is quenched by this river of grace. As rain that ascends to the heavens again, we offer to thee our praise. For your generous favors, O God, for the gift of our freedom in Christ, as an offering of praise unto you, Lord, we'll give our lives in sacrifice.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. The fire of our praise.
The fire of our praise begins with thee. And each fiber within us is yearning to be. Oh, may all that is empty within be consumed, and fire for thee set ablaze.
With the fragrance of sacrifice, sweet as perfume, we offer to thee our praise, oh, our praise. For thou generous favors, oh God, and the gift of our freedom in Christ, as an offering of praise unto you, Lord, we'll give our lives. For your generous favors, oh God, and the gift of our freedom in Christ, as an offering of praise unto you, Lord, we'll give our lives. We will give our lives. We will give our lives in sacrifice. Amen. Each cry of praise begins with thee. We offer now the sacrifice of praise.
Woo. Praise the Lord. I can just feel the presence of the Lord tonight. I'm singing myself happy. Hallelujah. I've even learned in the last year how to dance just a little bit. What's fun about that song, and I can just see it happening, is when my girls are with me, when I have my ballerinas with me, all that little filler area that I'm not singing is just filled with streamers and people dancing and having a great time. And I'm no good at that, but I can move. You know, I'm a singer, but there's something about dancing before the Lord. And I learned that, you know, honestly, I went to healing school, Matt. I went to healing school last year, and I had nothing wrong with me, but I still went to healing school. And I learned, and I just heard the word and heard the word. And the thing that got healed in me was I needed to learn how to dance. I needed to be able to dance before the Lord. And the guy that was teaching the healing class, he made a vow that for at least a year, he was going to dance before the Lord for 10 minutes a day and then pray in the spirit for at least 10 minutes a day. Well, he found himself on an international flight to Australia. And he goes, wait, I didn't dance yet, and I'm getting ready to go into another day. So he went, how many people know the size and the largeness of an airplane bathroom? I mean, you got to have some faith to go into an airline bathroom. So, yeah, so he went in there, took his little phone out, and put one of his little praise and worship songs. Just doing a little dance. And you know what I found out? That in that healing school, I just broke loose because I can be a little bit as loud as I can be. I can be a little reserved. I'm not the life of the party most time when I go to a place. You can find me sometimes in a corner. That's not good. But, you know, I'm just not one of the guys that's the life. And I found out that I needed to break out of that by dancing. And my family has gotten into it now, just the other day. Especially, it's almost like this sacrifice of praise. You don't feel like doing it. So we have a little dance area in our house, studio. And I just call, it's like calling the troops together. Okay, everybody, come on. My 17-year-old does it. My 14-year-old does it. And my 9-year-old does it. They're dancing. My wife does it. I do it. And we get in there, and we start doing this African medley thing that we like. You are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia, alleluia, you are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia, alleluia, you are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia, alleluia, you are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia. Hallelujah. Now, I might get the real song on a little later because everybody gets up. Everybody dances at my conferences. It's kind of like I expect people to do what I tell them when I'm on stage. So when I tell you to lift your hands, you better lift your hands or I will find you. I'm not ashamed. I want you to lift your hands. But anyway, we get together and we do it by faith. You know, and it's not pretty for me, but I've gotten better. But it's a thing of just dancing before the Lord and say, Lord, I know you've got every situation. You got everything. It's no use for me to waste my time or stay awake worrying about something that you have got taken care of. So, Lord, I'm right with you. I've been faithful in my giving. I'm doing what I need to do. I've got the word in my heart. you're going to take care of all this. And we just, and it's amazing the breakthroughs and the breakthroughs and the breakthroughs that we've had this year just by simply dancing. dancing the night away. You just have some fun with it. It's good, but God loves, I love it when my children just play. Back when they were little and they just play and have fun before you and just dance and act silly, I just sit there and smile at them. I thought it was great. And I think the Lord is the same way with us. He said, you know what? They actually believe. Can you imagine how if you sat over there with your three-year-old and your three-year-old was sitting in the corner going, I wonder if mom's going to have some juice and string cheese for me. I wonder if they're going to, am I going to have another? Listen, if I dirty this diaper, is there another one for me to have? I'm just wondering. That's as silly as our worrying is to God. I'll say it over here. That's serious right there. We got to get rid of worry. Focus that energy on praise. Amen? But he said in Ephesians that he has raised us up to sit together with him in heavenly places. I remember a guy giving me tickets to an Angels game out in I didn't realize it, and he didn't tell me. He said, just go through this certain door, and they'll take it from there. I didn't realize it was his company's special tickets. So we ended up in a box where we had our own waiter. I didn't have to do anything. I just said, hey, can I have a Coke? Magically a Coke appeared in my hand. Can I have a sandwich? Would you like it? Would you like us to cook it this way? Would you like us to cook it? Yes, that would be awesome. Thank you. And he blessed us with that. And I realized, you know what? We sit together with Christ in a special box, in a special place, privileged of the Lord, if we will act like it, if we will thank you. See, that's something to dance before. You may feel like you're down here, but Lord, I thank you that your word says. Because people use this stupid term, well, I just feel. Guess what? Nobody cares how you feel. Nobody gives a rip. That's why some people don't return your phone call. You talk about how you feel too much instead of talking about the word. Well, how are you? Well, you know what? I'm fighting it. I'm a little down today, but you know what? That's just the facts of the matter. But the truth of the matter is that he will never leave me nor forsake me. We're not Christian scientists. We're not for saying that something is not happening in your life. We're just saying that it has no right to be in your life and that you're the one that has to enforce that. Well, I wish God would move. He already did. I wish God would move in my life. He already did. He sent Jesus. There's really not much more for God to do. Well, I need more power. Well, you haven't used the stuff you got. Start using power, more power comes. One, matter of fact, I've had God ask, so one man of God, matter of fact, it was Kenneth Copeland, said, Lord, I need more power. He goes, wait, you think I'm holding up on you? Think I'm holding out on you that you need more power? You have everything on the inside of you. Well, we need the Spirit of God to fall. It did 2,000 years ago on Pentecost, and it's never gotten taken back. See, these are the biblical truths that we've got to walk in. And they're not popular because people want to be victims and they want to talk about their pain and they want to talk about their problems and they want to, because they have nothing else to talk about. And if they did get healed, they would have nothing to chatter about. I've been in pain. I've dealt with bodily pain. I've dealt with a serious thing in my joint, but I'm healed now. The manifestation came. I am healed. It is done. Amen. So I know what it is. When you've done all to stand, well, guess what the book says? You stand some more. That's what you do. But he's raised you up to be more than what you are. You got to walk in that place in Christ. And I want you to just see that right now. Use some vision techniques and just, I am in the box seats with Christ. This is where I sit. I have ministering. So you do have a waiter. You, according to Hebrews, what is it, 1:14? That we have the ministering spirits that serve the heirs of salvation. Some of your angels are extremely bored. What are you talking about, Brother Tim? There are angels, there are ministering spirits that are assigned to help you. Are you an heir of salvation today? Do you have all that? Then you have angels. But when you complain, they just fold their wings because they don't know how to deal with that. But they deal in praise, and they deal in glory. So I want you to hear this song. It's a famous song Josh Groban made famous, but it's called You Raise Me Up. I hope you enjoy it. Praise God. Raised up to sit together in heavenly places. Miracles tonight. We're loaded. Hallelujah.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You've raised me up to more than I could be.
Talking about you tonight. All things are possible to those who believe. Everything.
You raise me up so I can stand on those mountains. You've raised me up to walk those stormy seas. And I am strong when I am on those shoulders. You've raised me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on those mountains. You've raised me up to walk those stormy seas. And I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You've raised me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on those mountains. You've raised me up to walk on those stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulder. You've raised me up to more than I can be. Lord, you've raised me up to more than I can be.
Amen. Woo. Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I love the, you know what? Yeah, let me sing this one. This song, Jesus Saved Me. This song was written by Donnie and Reba Rambo McGuire for me. So it's mine. You can't have it.
Jesus, he saved me. Lost in an ocean of sin, I kept going under again. Was drowning in a fear and regret, but he wasn't through with me yet. He was the lighthouse. He was the boat. He was the captain who rescued my soul. Jesus, save me when I could not save myself. He just never lets go.
Amen. Oh, Jesus saved me, and he loved me like nobody else. He just wouldn't say no. I couldn't earn it, I sure don't deserve it. His grace too amazing to tell. Oh, that Jesus has saved me. Well, I could not save myself. Jesus saved me. Lift your hands if you've been saved by the Lord. Now if I could show you this high, it used to be twisted and dark, but now only His mercy remains, where there was nothing but shame. Yeah. He was the power, He was the light, 'cause He resurrected this dead man's alive. Jesus saved me when I could not save myself. He just never let us go, He never let us go. And He loves me like nobody else. And He wouldn't say no. No, I couldn't earn it, and I sure don't, I don't deserve it. His grace, it's too amazing to tell. Oh, Jesus, He saved me. Yeah. Well, I could not save myself. Oh, Jesus, save me. Oh, yes, He did. I could not save myself. 'Cause it's nothing but the blood. He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. By the blood, Jesus saved me when I could not save myself. Could not save myself. Oh, Jesus saved me. Oh, I could not save, could not save, could not save myself. I thank You, Lord, for all that You've done in my life, oh Lord. Could not save myself. Woo. Is it just me or is God good? Let me open this up. You are an angel. I go through the water. It's just who I am. Praise the Lord. Did you guys like that song? That is on that CD. It is on that CD out there. Let me see here. Oh, I like this one. How many people like the idea that the Lord is watching over you? You like that? Well, there's a great hymn called His Eye Is On. Matt, what is it? Ryan, you're a winner of $500. Check with your dad after service. Hallelujah. Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should this heart feel lonely and long?
long for heaven and home. Oh, in Jesus, oh, he is my portion. Oh, and a constant friend, always is he. For his eye tonight, oh, is on that sparrow. And I know he's all watching me. For I know his eye is on, I know his eye on the sparrow. And I know he's watching over me.
Now, how many people know this song? Help me sing it.
So we sing because we're happy.
Unless you're depressed tonight, you know.
So we sing because, Lord, I'm free. For his eye tonight,
right here in Pennsylvania,
oh, his eye is on the sparrow. And I know he's watching over me.
Hallelujah.
So let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
For his tender word, oh, he, and I'm resting on his goodness. So I lose all my doubts. We get to lose.
I don't know where they are. I can't find them. All my doubts and fears are gone.
So I draw thee close to me. Oh, from care, Lord, you said I get to be free. For his eye, I know it's on the sparrow. And I know,
I don't think,
I know he's watching me.
Yes.
For I know his eye is on the sparrow. And I know,
I don't think,
I know, in total confidence in his word, that what he said is true. And I sing because my Lord, I'm happy. And I sing, oh, it's because I'm free. For his eye, all that eye is on that sparrow. And I know he's watching, constantly looking and watching over me. The sparrow. And I know he's watching over me.
All the way in the back over there, he's watching over you. And right here, hey,
oh, lift your hands if you know he's watching. It's over me and you.
Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is there anything else I want to do? I think I want to come down. I'm going to share a little bit in the Word right now. Is that okay? Good. Well, I have the mic, so I'm going to do it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, the Lord is good. He's faithful. I was thinking today of a few things of how the Lord had just been faithful to me. And that I call it intoxicating grace. You know, where people can look at you in a situation that you're in, and it's like a drunk. A drunk will walk up to the most beautiful woman in the place and ask her out. He has no business being with this woman, but he's lost it. He's lost all of his inhibitions. And I find that the grace of God towards situations when you're staring at a giant, that you get intoxicated into the presence of God. And you can take that mountain. You can take that giant. You can face anything. No matter what the devil's trying to do, or maybe the devil you feel, you can almost feel. It's like the devil's got this smug look on his face when he looks at you like, yeah, I've got you, pal. I've got you pinned down. There's a painting. I should have had the guys put it up. But there's a painting that I really love. And the painting is called Checkmate. And it hangs, I think it's over in the Louvre in Paris, but it's a picture of the devil, a guy representing the devil, and he's just got this like look on his face, and it's a chessboard right here, and the king on the other side of the chessboard is completely befuddled. He's like, I'm pinned. It's checkmate, I guess. I don't know. And so the story goes that there is a world-class, world champion chess player that was walking through the museum. And he was with some friends, and they were having this private tour. And so he stops, and he looks at the painting, and he's looking at it. And his friends are like, this is great. This is cool. Let's move on. So they move on. But the chess player, the champion chess player, he's looking at the board. He just keeps looking at the board. And so finally, the curator of the museum comes over and says, sir, we're ready to move on. You're obviously enjoying this. He goes, you're going to have to change the name of this painting. Well, it's called Checkmate. What do you mean? He goes, because I'm a world champion chess player, and the king has one more move. The devil's got a smug look on his face, but I'm telling you tonight, the king has one more move in your life. You might feel like you might be cornered, but he's got one more move. Amen. He's faithful and just to do what he said that he would do. Amen. Sarah laughed at what was being said that was going to be done to her. I love that part. Said, did you laugh? No, I didn't laugh. And he goes, but you did laugh. You can tell the king of Salem had a sense of humor. But you did laugh. But it says that she eventually judged God faithful. And I feel that my spirit tonight, some of you have been preached at, you've had hands laid onto you until you're bald. You got to start judging God faithful. Well, what's he going to do for me? He's done did it. If I can say it, does that work in this part of the world? He done did it. Hallelujah. I'm happy. I love what I get to do. I honestly just love it to see people's lives transformed and blessed. But he always comes through, man. Were you up on the playing guitar behind me? Yeah, can you stand up? I got to lay hands on you. And I knew it when I walked on stage. Come over here. I'm not going to hurt you. Probably not. I don't know. Father, I want to thank you for this man. And Lord, there's a blessing coming to him. Lord, as I lay hands on him, I thank you, Father, that there is a breakthrough. I know we use that word, but I just see there's a cracking all the way around him, and he's breaking through. Lord, there's more for him. And I hear the Lord saying, don't be satisfied, son. There's more for you. Don't give up on dreams that I placed in your heart. There's more for you. And it's the same. Sometimes when people come by and lay hands on, it's the same way as maybe somebody's battery out there in the parking lot isn't working. It's a little down, but the Christ in me is getting ready to jumpstart the Christ in you. We can just say it that way. It just helps us understand. That's a part of the laying on of hands. It's that jumpstart. Amen? So, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that the devil, we resist the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, but he's not a roaring lion. We have the lion of the tribe of Judah, and there's something going on inside of you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, Jesus, thank you, Father. Just touch him, Lord. In the name of Jesus, there it is, just receive it. Boy, it's a good thing. Father, in Jesus, the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. Hallelujah. He's making you stronger, faster. I referenced the bionic man this morning, but he's making you stronger and faster. He's going to help you. He's going to take you through. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, in Jesus' name. And I speak the miraculous over you. I speak the miraculous over you. I speak the miraculous over you in the name of Jesus. And rest, rest. Just rest. It's all going to be good. He's got you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Jesus. Woo.
For this joy unspeakable. There we go.
God loves bald people too. Hallelujah. 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 You know, the Lord is the financier, the director, and writer of your life. I remember, you guys can sit down, I'm going to talk for a while. I'll be done, 9:10. I remember watching, you remember Tom Hanks' movie, Castaway? Well, I lived in Memphis during the time that it was a big deal because it was FedEx. Every time I flew out and went anywhere in ministry, hundreds of FedEx jets everywhere. I guess some of them were gone somewhere, but all those were parked. I guess there was no packages or something. And it was an awesome idea, but Dean Smith, what's his name? Is it Dean or Fred. That's his name, Fred, the guy. He wrote a thesis about overnight delivery, and his professors gave him a D. Yeah. Now, the professors are still broke.
Yes, but Fred is. Yeah.
But Fred's doing fine.
Yes, Fred is doing fine.
Fred's on a beach somewhere, or he has a house in four corners of the earth. I mean, he's doing fine. But regarding, so it was a big deal when Tom Hanks was going to do that because they also filmed at the Peabody. And if you've ever been to the Peabody in Memphis, they have the, every day they have the marching of the ducks. They have a fountain in the middle of this gorgeous lobby. They have the ducks on the roof. The roof is really cool. If you ever saw Tom Cruise movie where he's a lawyer, what is that? He was in Memphis. I forget it. But anyway, they had a party in that movie on the top of the roof of the Peabody. The what? The firm. Thank you. What? You watch too much TV. Anyway. Thank you. And so the Peabody's fun because they march the ducks down in an elevator. The ducks are in the elevator. They open their, and they know, they just march right to the fountain. They get in the fountain every day. And they have the honorary pulling it back. So it was a big deal when I was living in Memphis for this movie. Now, when the plane was going down, I was just like, oh my God, I couldn't think of anything else. He's going down. It's a FedEx jet. There's got to be important stuff in that jet that people aren't going to get. But anyway, that's where my mind was. Oh my gosh, people are going to be looking for their packages. Things are. He finds a raft. He takes the raft, explodes that thing. It goes all the way up. And you're just like that. Your heart's palpitating over something that's not really happening. Your emotions are fried over something that's not happening. Matter of fact, he's making $20 million to make you think that something's happening. It's not happening. But yet, he gets up and he gets to the ocean. And all of a sudden, he washes up on shore. He's got bad luck, can't even kill himself. He can't even pick a branch that works. He's talking to a volleyball named Wilson. And man, just the whole time. And then he's trying to get out. He's trying to get off the island. And I'm right there with him, Matt, while I had my popcorn. Bless me. What's going to happen, honey? My wife is just like, shut up. Watch the movie. Okay. But what do you think's going to happen? I was just up in my head. I was just, the emotions were just rolling. And you know what? He got off the island. Praise God. Him and Gilligan, they got off the island. Everything's good. I always tell people, you got to stand on the word. He brought Daniel out of the lion's den.
That's right.
He got Gilligan off the island. Amen. Everything's going to be all right.
Amen,
but you know what happened to me, Pastor? I was in the movie theater and it was, but he got off the, everything's fine. Lost the love of his life, but you know, that's okay. And I can remember sitting in my house when it came on network TV, and the same things were happening. But I, when the plane was going down, my heart was just normal. And I was like, Sabrina, I think I'm going to watch this. Honey, can I have a sandwich? Sure, babe. How calloused am I that I'm going to have a Coke and a sandwich and some chips while this poor man's going down in the FedEx jet yet again? You ever wondered why God's such at peace when you're not? You ever wonder why he's sleeping in the boat? probably wet. It wasn't like he was a cabin cruiser where he was down in the bedroom chilling out. Peter, don't disturb me unless it's a national emergency. He's probably getting wet too. But Jesus was asleep. And all of a sudden the disciples, they're just like, do you not give a rip? You ever been there? You ever felt? Have you said that to the Lord? Do you care? But see, he's the writer and the financier and the director. Action. Well, he didn't do that very well, so let's do it again. Action. See, here's the cool thing that I've learned. I've been to Israel several times. I lead tours to Israel. Can you imagine hanging out with me in Jerusalem? We have a lot of fun. And now that everything's open again, probably going to go again. And I'm looking forward to it. I know that my man that owns the travel agency, he keeps talking to me because I bring in the business.
That's right.
You know, we have fun. But you just realize that God is at peace because he knows what's going to happen. And when you get the revelation, it's all going to be okay. No matter what you're going through, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Now, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. You obey God. You do what he's telling you to do. But in the midst of a storm, I love the accounts in Matthew. I wasn't even planning on preaching on this. But it was like Matthew, I think it's Matthew 14, where you've got the account, this account of when Jesus compelled the men to get into the boat. Get into the boat. And you know what compel means? I said get in the boat. And they're like, you know what? And they didn't want to get in the boat, Matt. Why? Because most of them were professional fishermen. And they were looking at the skies. And I was like, I'm not sure we're going to get out of port. And by the time we get out and Sea of Galilee is not big, but it is. Okay, I'll just say that. It's big, but not really compared to a lot of the lakes that are out there. You can see the other side. It's gorgeous. How many people would like to go to Israel sometime? You like to go to Israel? There's nothing like waking up in Galilee. Nothing like it. Except Jerusalem. Jerusalem's awesome to wake up in. Yeah, the Lord's stirring with me. I think we're going to go back. I only go when he tells me to go. That's another key to success. Only do what God says to do. I'm not putting people on an airplane and going over the ocean because I thought, you know what, heck, I think it's a good idea. Let's go to Israel. It's in this day and time. You do what the Lord tells you to do. If you got peace about something, you do it. Then you check out with other people. Hey, I'm praying about going to Israel. What do you think? I got peace about it, brother. Some people that I look to, men, prophetic men. But I want to tell you that he was telling them, get in the boat, get in the boat, get in the boat. Yes, I know it looks like a storm, but get in the boat. See, here's the thing. When God tells you to do something and a storm happens, guess what? He's responsible. I said I put two bulls on there. He's responsible to take care of you. Now, here's the cool thing. That should have taken 2 hours to row across where they were going. Again, been there. Should have taken 2 hours. Now, this is the credit to the disciples. It says that they left probably about 7 o'clock the evening before, and they were still rowing at about 4 in the morning. We're talking about 9 hours. They're going, this is the way he said to go. Kind of sucks. This is no good, but he said to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
See, it's the thing. You cannot, I feel this power in my heart, just because it's difficult does not mean that it's not God. And just because it's easy doesn't mean it's God. You have to understand he's going to lead you somewhere. And then in this very thing is the time when Jesus came walking. There's 3 different scenarios in the Word of God on this story. The only one that covers Peter getting out of the boat is Matthew 14. In John 6, it says that they were just going and they were in a storm and all of a sudden they saw Jesus walking. And I think in this, it's either this one, John, Mark 6 or John 6, but it says that he's coming and would have passed them by. They're in a storm, it would have passed them by. And they're like, you got to shout out the name of Jesus. You got to use your mouth and go, yeah, we're out here. And Jesus stayed behind to handle the crowd and to go up and pray. But then he's coming out and they yell, and it says that he came and got into the boat. Now, The other one, which I love, which I think is John 6. Somebody probably help me with this, but you'll find it. The other one is that they were seeing him. They're in the boat. They're freaked out, but they see Jesus. They call him, and he gets in the boat. Comes in. How do you not talk about Peter? This is my thing. When the other disciples are writing their book, Peter walked on the water, but I'm not covering that. You got to love John because he always would say, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Who is he talking about? He's the one that wrote that. It'd be like you ladies saying, what's your name? Debbie, what's your name? Lynn. So Debbie and Lynn and the singer whom Jesus loves went to have some coffee today.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Tim, the disciple whom Jesus loved. You got to love John. Thinking Peter's the scammer. It's John, I'm telling you. He's wanting the credit. But here's the cool thing about this story. Jesus gets in the boat and it says this. They were immediately to the other side. Immediately. And basically where they were, they still had a mile to cover. But Jesus gets in the boat and it says they were immediately to the other side. Can I speak a prophetic word of acceleration on you right now? You're about to come from... What are you laying on the floor for, man? You're about to enter a place of acceleration. God's entering into your situation and where you've been toiling and where it's been difficult, where maybe you've gone 2 weeks without a sale and all of a sudden Jesus gets into the situation, all of a sudden you're the sale of the month. They don't come in wanting one RV, they said, I need 10. See, I would be shouting if I would speak something like this. Some prophet speak over me, something like that. I'd be shouting. I'm like, woo! I'm going to take my own word for myself. Lay hands on myself. Kiss myself. So pretty. Some of these guys don't know how to take me. So I'm glad you're on the front row smiling at me. Because some of them are just... I'm singing. It's like the Olympic judging committee out here. You've got.
Can I give him a three?
Yeah, give him a three.
I'm more of a country guy myself. Yeah. Go buy the CD. There's a country song on there. There is. I did a country song.
I tried my best.
Yeah.
This is the first CD I ever did where I did not produce myself. Donnie McGuire produced. Same guy that did a lot of the Gaither stuff. And he said, "Will you just give me full control?" I was like, "I don't know." He said, that Grammy Award over there says I'm good. Yeah, I know. All right, we'll do it. So he said, I got this country song that I was like, you got a what? So I sang it. Anyway, it's totally off track. But Jesus gets in the boat and you get to the other side. Can I speak that your health is just going to, like that? Can I say that the business is going to happen? Can I say that you're going to get the promotion?
That's right.
That your kids are going to go from here to, is this going to happen? There's an acceleration that's coming to the body of Christ. An acceleration that's coming to the body of Christ. There are suddenlies that are coming up. The Lord just reminded me. Does anybody have the Message translation on them? Does anybody have the Message? Can you get that on the phone for me? Go to Job chapter 5. The Lord just reminded me of this. There's an acceleration, and this is for everybody. And the Message just rocks. This verse rocks in the Message. Just brings it across. Job 5:9. Hallelujah. When you have it, just yell it out or speak it. Anybody's phone working? Job's in the Old Testament. For all you Bible scholars. Huh? He's got excuses. Do you have the verse? You know what? I'm just going to find it myself. I'm just going to do it myself. You're too slow. But see, what you got to do is, let's see. Job. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Here we go. Here we go. I got it. I thought it. Yeah, Job 5:9. After all, he, God, is famous for great and unexpected acts, and there's no end to his surprises. See, I like that. After all, he's famous for great and unexpected acts. There's no end to his surprises. See, the Lord will do, he'll do things just to bless you, to increase your faith. See, I grew up, this is really funny, but let me tell you this story. I know, how many people in here are Steeler fans? We're going to have an altar call. Anyway. Okay, I apologize, but they never were on TV when I was a kid. And I lived in West Virginia. I never saw anybody but the Atlanta Braves and the Dallas Cowboys on TV. Thus, my father and his father before him, back to Adam, were Cowboy fans. I had no choice. So I'm a Cowboy fan. So, and Donnie McGuire, a Cowboy fan. I'm talking about how God will bring things to pass in your life. Do things to encourage you, okay? So, how do I want to tell this story? I guess I'll do it from the beginning. I was born a very young child. No. yeah. So we were in Dallas, Texas. I was only about 4 months on the road with Donnie and Reba. We were in Dallas. Donnie gets done with a Wednesday night service. The Dallas Cowboys are up in Wichita Falls in training camp. And he looks at me and says, "You're the driver. We have a few things before next Sunday. A few days, so if you want to, it'd take all night, but let's go to Wichita Falls and go to the Cowboys training camp." Okay, and this is back in the days when they were good. We're talking Troy Aikman, Emmett Smith, and Michael Irvin. So I pull up, and, you know, I pull up, and we sleep, and this is a 45-foot coach, 8.5 feet wide, and we towed a Suburban on the back of it. So we're about 67 feet, okay? And so I park it. Early in the morning, get a knock on the door and open it up. And this guy says, "Listen, it's probably going to be about 10,000 people at least at camp today. Can you move this bus somewhere else?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely." I said, "Jump on and show me where you want." And so I asked him, I said, "Listen, do you know who holds the Troy Aikman autograph passes?" And he goes, "Yeah, I got them. I have all 50 for the day right here." Oh, my goodness. He goes, "He only signs kids' autographs." I said, my wife says I can act as immature as anybody. So I just, so he goes, "Thanks for moving the bus," and he gives me one. So I go and buy a little ball, and I've got a marker, okay? And I get into this area, Pastor, where there's a bunch of 5 to 11-year-olds. And I'm the only 20, I'm 27 at the time. So I'm in there. These kids are like, "How'd you get in here?" I was just like, "Favor of God, man. You ever heard of you?" My face, I'm up again. He had fathers that were up against the fence going, "Dude, how'd you get in there?" I was just like, "Favor." I get up to Aikman, and he just kind of looks at me. Like, yeah, I said, "I know, but I love you, man. Awesome. Here's the ball. Here's the marker. Just sign it." And he was like, "All right." And he just signed the thing, and we talked for a little while. Now, that was awesome. That was great. But who I wanted to meet was Michael Irvin. That's who I wanted to meet, but he was way out into the field playing ball, and unless I wanted to risk prison, there was no way. So that's the end of that, okay? So years later, I get a call from a lady named Beverly Robinson. Beverly Robinson is the personal assistant to a man named Bishop T.D. Jakes, Thomas Dexter Jakes. He saw me sing in Tulsa at Azusa years ago with Carlton Pearson. And so while I'm singing, I sang "I Bowed on My Knees and Cried Holy," the thing that Ted loves. And so I sang that, and Jakes looks over at him and says, "I need his number." So they did that unbeknownst to me. And so later, I'm in just a few weeks later, I'm in Arizona, and I've got this van that God had given us, beautiful Choo Choo Customs. I mean, it was a beautiful thing God gave us right out of the gate from our ministry to be able to travel in. And that's another story. And he provided, and I'm just washing it, and my phone didn't work there. It had no lines. I don't even know why I had it on me. I had my cap turned backwards, my shirt off. I was enjoying the Arizona sun, and I'm just washing my van. And the phone that has no service rings. "Is this Tim Gidley?" "Yes, it is." "Well, I'm Beverly Robbins from the Potter's House. Bishop Jakes would like to know if you would be interested in being his soloist for his pastors and leaders convention. And I was like, you know, let me think about it. No, I literally said, does Billy Graham have a quiet time? Yes, I'll do it. So my wife at that time, when I met my wife, she was a professional ballerina. So she could get up on one toe and spin and do all this stuff, levitate in the air. It was weird. But anyway, she was amazing. Still is. She's the one that's taught my daughters and teaches a lot. But she had danced for several companies and things. She's amazing, just really amazing. So we came in, and times in concerts, I would stand off to the side and I would sing, and then she would go out and dance and bring to life the words. So I'm singing this song called He Has Forgiven Me. He has forgiven me. My sin has been washed from His memory. And by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary, He has forgiven me. And so I'm singing. You've seen that stage on TV. And I mean, it starts cranking and I'm up. She's dancing. And she comes out all dressed in black, okay? But underneath was this red sequined gown. The blood, righteousness. So at the beginning, she takes this thing off. When I sing that, she takes it off. And all that black robe falls in a pile. And at the end of the song, she has this big red thing that she's dancing with, and she drapes it over all the black, signifying being the sin, our sin of mankind being covered. So I'm singing, while I'm singing this thing, and she's dancing this way, and I look on the front row, and I'm singing, and who's sitting there? Deion Sanders and Michael Irvin.
All right.
Hallelujah. So I'm singing. I come this way. Sabrina's twirling her thing, just dancing. And I go like this. He has forgiven me.
Michael Irvin was on the front row. And she said some very sound advice to me. She went, shut up. We're on national TV.
So we sing the song, and they look like they're into it. Irvin's hitting Deion Sanders. They act like they're liking it. They're enjoying it. Everybody, place was packed, about 11,000 people. They're just, you know, throwing hankies, ripping up chairs. They're just having fun. It's black church, you know, it's fun. And waving hankies at me and all that kind of stuff. So afterwards, now remember, I wanted to meet Michael Irvin 4 years earlier, but I couldn't get there because there were obstacles. Much too high a price to pay to get to him. So we're walking back after the service is over, get right back, following Bishop Jakes, going back, and all of a sudden a hand lands on this shoulder that the fingers drape down to right here, and the thumb is tickling the other side of my armpit. We're talking about a hand. Spun me around, and it was Michael Irvin. And he said these profound words to me. You can sing, little white man. That's what he said. You can sing, little white man. And I was just like, and I pulled a receipt from my hotel out of my pocket and gave it to him. He was like, dressed to the nines, Super Bowl ring. I said, you look like you could still play. And he goes, trust me, it's just looks. I can't play anymore. But he whipped out and went 88 playmaker. And then I started to walk away. Thank you. And he's like, no, man, sit down. Let's talk. I'm like, what? Have you ever seen that Saturday Night Live bit when Chris Farley's talking to one of the Beatles? Was it McCartney? And he's asking all these stupid questions because he's just blown away. That he said, that's the whole bit. I was sitting there just like, and I was like, you remember when you made this catch? And he goes, yeah, I remember. I said, it was the most amazing catch. You remember when you, he said, yeah. And he wanted to know about me. I wanted to know about him. So afterwards, it's like, cool, that's awesome. And then I left, got back to the hotel. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, do you remember when you couldn't get to him? I said, yes, sir. He says, you followed my will for your life. Now that which you were trying to get to turned around and pursued you. He got up, came after me. Not because of me, but because of obeying the Holy Ghost. He'll do things like that. He'll just do things like that. Built my faith. realizing that there's no obstacle, there's no wall. There's no, if God has deemed for you to get somewhere, you're going to get there. Yeah. So as you just keep faithful to the mission that he's put in your heart to do. Yeah. No matter how silly and how worn or weird it may sound, if God's given you a word, a prophetic word, anything, that you're going to be somewhere, hallelujah, you're going to get there. When I first, yeah. So when I first, it's funny, I still run into Michael Irvin. I go into Dallas. I remember a few months ago, I was in Dallas. I had to go to the bathroom. Does everybody here go to the bathroom? I have to go to the bathroom. So I was standing at a urinal doing my business, and I looked beside him, and it was Michael Irvin.
All right. All right.
And you know what he said? You're a little white man from Jake's. I said, yes, sir. He dressed in velvet. It was funny. And we just walked, you know, to flights and things. But it's just like, God keeps on reminding me that he can get me anywhere at any time. I remember being in San Francisco, and I had a day off, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go to the courthouse. I said, the City Hall. If you're ever in San Francisco, you have to go to City Hall, because most of the place is so opulent and so beautiful. They have about 12 or 13 weddings going on at the same time. You know, just these amazing marble steps, and the place is huge. So the Lord spoke to me and says, I want you to go pray with the mayor. The new mayor. And she, I forget her name. What is it? London Breed? I think it's what it is, London Breed. And I went in and I talked to the official that was standing there. I said, is there any way of seeing the mayor? She laughed. She goes, she was elected 6 months ago. I've never seen the mayor. I work here every day. I've never seen the mayor. I said, okay. She goes, well, if you want to come in, there's a free tour they take you on. So I went on the tour and then broke loose when we came up to the mayor's office. Walked straight into the mayor's office. And I said, is Miss Bree here? And they go, no, she actually is here somewhere, but she's not in the office right now. So I said, okay. Well, I said, Lord, I'm doing my best. I'm doing what you do. So I keep going. All of a sudden, I go back downstairs, and there's this whole, like, press conference going on for people, women from the Malaysia that had come to San Francisco that had raised up tech businesses and become successful. And she was like congratulating him, giving him some kind of an award. And I'm just standing there looking at her. And she starts coming this way and I just start rolling this way. And we perfectly, she got stopped by a reporter. And then I was 4 feet away from her. And I just looked at her when she came and I said, can I have a picture? She goes, sure. She's dressed to the nines, beautiful lady. And here's the funny thing. We're going to have a picture. So, you know, you were standing, I had my arm around her, and I'm standing there, and I gave my phone. I mean, most everybody in here knows how to operate a smartphone, right? Most people. To take a picture, 90%. Now, if you're going to be London Breed's press secretary, you're going to know how to take a picture on a phone. All of a sudden, the spirit of stupid hit this guy. He could not figure out how to do anything. Guess what that did? So, how you doing?
Yeah.
I'm standing with the mayor.
Yeah,
so. And I just said, and I gave her, I said, you know what? I came here today to pray for you. Right. Now, we're talking liberal.
Yeah.
So, I enjoyed freaking her out. Because that was, go Trump. Anyway.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm here to pray for you. And but I did a real quick prayer, but I was laying my hands on her, and I said, I'm praying that you'll be the most successful mayor, that God will give you answers to all the problems in this city for the homeless. And I just went, God gave me the words. Man, she was just looking at me and just nodding like that. And I was like, thank you very much. And all of a sudden, Spirit of Stupid left her aid, and he was like, I'm sorry. It took 2 minutes to figure out how to take a picture. Push the button, dude. Push the button. But God put that on him so I would have time. So I could sow a seed. I could do that. Took the picture and I left. And I walked out the same door, talked to the security guard. He said, did you enjoy? I said, yeah, I got to take a picture with the mayor. What? How did you do that? And we just laughed. And I walked out and it was raining. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I can put you anywhere at any time talking to anybody that I want to. Just obey me. And see, this is not just for me. This is not just for me. Anybody like stories? The good, cool stories? When I got on the road first singing, I told Pastor this, but I've always been an Elvis fan, just always been that way. And the people I traveled with, Dottie Rambo was very close with Elvis. And they go to Vegas and hang out with him a little bit and minister to him and pray for him and things. And so when we got back to Nashville, she asked me, she said, hey, I got some trees to be planted in the yard. Would you be willing to do it? And I was like, yeah, dig a hole, stick them in there, cover it. It can't be that hard. Well, it took a while, so I was filthy. I mean, I was just head to toe, just dirt. Walked into her house. In the meantime of me putting those trees in, Reba, her daughter, had called, and they were talking, and Dottie ran. She says, what can I do for Tim? He's been really nice. Doing these trees has nothing to do with his real job. And everything said, oh, Mama, just show him the outfit. The outfit. So I walk in the house. She goes, Tim, I need you to go to the bathroom, clean up, because there's something laying across the spare bedroom, the bed that I want you to go put on. I was like, say what? Yeah. She goes, shut up and do it. You know, she was 4 foot nothing, full of power, anointing. Just shut up and do it. And I was like, yes, ma'am. So I went, got cleaned up. There's a handbag laying across the bed. Opened it up, and it was one of Elvis Presley's jumpsuits.
Oh, cool.
The baby blue one that he did Madison Square Garden in. The cape came out, had the yellow satin right there, bell bottoms blew out right there, had collar up to here. It was awesome. She said, put it on. I was like, what? I get to put it on? So I put it on, and I walked around the house for about an hour. I'd hit my knees. Thank you very much. I'd do everything. It was fun. And she goes, you really look good in that. It's not far off. I was like, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Here's his Bible. He gave me his Bible. Opened it up, highlighted, study, all this kind of stuff. This man was a studier. She sent me, then she said, here's some Christmas cards that I got from him. You know, just like, you know, here's some Christmas cards I got from Elvis. Just like, all right. I'm sitting there and looking. And I did, you know, I can remember being 7 years old sitting at the border of Pennsylvania and West Virginia on my grandfather's lap watching the news when it said that Elvis passed away. I didn't really know that he was much of anything. I just seen him in the movies as a singer, and I kind of got more and more as I grew older understanding what he was. But here I am wearing one of the jumpsuits. Because what happened was, is he said, Dottie, just go into my closet and just go pick out whatever you want. She goes, it was after a concert. He goes, I want what you have on, what you just did the concert in. So he goes in there and peels that sweaty mess off, puts it in a bag, and they give it to her. I mean, these suits cost $100,000 to put together. I mean, it's like secret, they're rhinestones and all this just kinds of stuff. He's giving that thing to her. And do you understand how impossible that is for me to ever get anywhere near that outfit? When she passed away, they sold it at Sotheby's for an auction for $350,000. I wore a suit worth $350,000. And it's like the Lord's constantly was driving things into me. Nothing is impossible. That's why I was telling you about that choo-choo customs van. We're getting ready to launch off into ministry. And I'm thinking, yeah, we're a traveling ministry. Wait a minute, we don't have anything to travel in. So we pull in with Donnie and Reba to go to Manassas, Virginia. I'm telling you stories to build your faith. Because God's getting ready to release some things on some people. It's like a campfire right here. I keep feeling it right here. I could preach to you guys. Glad the rest of you showed up. But there's the campfire. I'm having s'mores right now. It's Hershey. There's all kinds of stuff. It's hot over here. Because there's destiny to be had in this area, in this church. Amen? There's revival. I've already seen it. I saw it this morning. I saw this place packed. I saw revival. I saw hundreds of bodies laid across right here. I saw people. I saw crutches being laid up against that wall. I saw wheelchairs over there. I saw that multiple things, people were being prayed for over here, and people were getting dunked in that all at the same time. It was wild and woolly.
I love it.
You should, because you're there. I saw both of you there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys have the Moses thing on you. I'm being serious. Amen. Your strength not abated. You're the youngest older people I've ever been around. You ever ridden in the car with these two? She's over there filling his ear and touching his shoulder. And I'm sitting in the back like, get a room. I mean, it's like, I'm back here. And it's like, we've been married 57 years. I was getting ready to brag that I've been married 23 years. At the end of this month, I have a birthday today. That's the reason I'm a little wild today. I'm having a birthday. I'm a little older. This is my birthday present. I'm hanging out with you instead of my family. But she's like, well, we've been married 57 years. I said, you still like each other? Oh, yeah, we love one another. And you can tell. See, that's the thing of being filled with the Holy Ghost, obeying God, that you can have this beautiful thing called life. But people want God's stuff without biblical... somebody's calling me. You want me to answer it? That's my brother wishing me happy birthday. There's nothing he can't do. So I need transportation. So I'm just like, well, I've already wore Elvis's outfit, met the Dallas Cowboys. I got to Bishop Jake's church. That's impossible. I remember Bishop Jake's looking at me and goes, are you glad to be out of West Virginia? I said, yes, sir. I love it, but God had more for me. He was wiping his face. Yeah, me too. Yeah. And it's really sad because Charleston, West Virginia could have been extremely blessed because he was filling up every hotel there. It was his hometown. He wanted to bless the place. But too much didn't like a certain race of people. They'd rather be broke than let all the hotels be filled up with these precious African-American black people. You ever notice, I mean, they're the best in sports. My favorite singer is black. My favorite preacher is black. I have like this it's funny because people will tell me, you kind of sing like an African-American sometimes. I said, yeah, it's because I have this birthmark that's really dark that goes down my leg, and that's where all my soul comes from. It's right there. It's fun. Amen. He had to leave and go to Dallas where they would be open-minded. Yes, that's exactly right. And that's what happened. First Sunday they opened, 1,500 people, and the rest is history. Exactly right. You know, I don't agree with everything that Bishop does or what he stands for, and sir, but you gotta see that, you know, I remember his wife telling him when he was pacing the floor thinking about moving from West Virginia to Dallas, and he was just worried about things. he was pacing the floor, and he goes, Sarita, can't you get up and pray? She goes, I already had my baby. You're having yours. Destiny was calling. And destiny can be uncomfortable sometimes to be able to obey God and do what he's called you to do. I just didn't know. It was that intoxicating grace I'm talking about. I'm a traveling guy that didn't have any transportation. What, I'm walking down the street to get to the next place. So we pull into Manassas, Virginia, park the bus. We're having a meeting with Barry Lubba and Lubby, and all of a sudden, this is my last story, and Donnie looks at me and says, hey, I'm going to take the Suburban in I forget what the name of the dealership was a long time ago. They said his wife, he's Catholic, but he owns the largest Jeep GMC for whatever dealership, and he said, we're going there to trade in and get a brand new Suburban for the ministry. I need you and Sabrina to come. And I was thinking, why did my wife need to come? She would rather just rest. I looked at Sabrina and said, he wants us to come. She's like, okay. So we go. We come into the dealership, and I'm just standing there, and all of a sudden, the head of the dealership, he comes over to me and says, son, follow me. I said, okay. So I told my wife, let's follow this guy. Donnie looked at me and says, the owner of the whole place. I was like, okay. So we're following this guy. We went in, Matt, to this, because huge provision's on your life. Do you know that? Huge provision. I already talked to her. With this state. Isn't that amazing? I prayed over you, didn't know that she was your wife, looked in the back this morning and said, you come up here because God wanted to do that same impartation. I just think that's flat cool. And again, it's like the heat. So he takes us into this beautiful area, and there's a white and with red rice, kind of racing stripe type thing going on. Brand new. He opens it up, had these captain's chairs, had the seat in the back that would lay down and go flat. And one thing I always loved about Donnie and Reba's bus is at night we would travel, and I call it the Christmas lights. We just flick them on, and everything was trimmed in lights. I mean, it was just awesome. And I was like, man, I'd love to have a vehicle that did this. It did. Came in there, I had a button like that. Everything just lit up. I was like, oh, this is so cool. My wife and I we were dumb. It was just like we're like 30, and we're looking at this thing. And it's like, oh, this is so nice of him to show us this. He looks at it and says, do you like it? I go, yeah, it's beautiful. He goes, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This thing's brand new. It costs this much. It's mine, so I'm going to take it down to half. Then I'm going to give you another $5,000 to put down on it. I said, you don't even know me. I said, yeah, but I know Donnie and Reba. And they know you. And they say that you're an up-and-comer and God's going to use you. His wife's charismatic. He's Catholic. Doesn't even go to the church we're going to minister at. But he's going to bless us. So I pull into a station, come take Donnie over to get what I think is his, and I drive back to the hotel in a brand new Choo Choo Customs van. It was before Facebook. It was before anything. It was before telephone. Just kidding. No, it was like 2000. So we're picking up the phone crying. We're trying to call our parents and everything. What God did, this is amazing. You pull up to churches and pastors that I'd traveled with Donnie Raven, they knew me. They're like, man, we weren't expecting you to show up in this. I said, I wasn't either. But he is the God of the surprise.
That's right.
He's a God of surprise.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.